Thank you for tuning in to Connecting the Diocese from the Diocese of La Crosse, Wisconsin on this most remarkable weekend. My name is Jack Socia. We just had Thanksgiving, and then, boom, we had Black Friday, get out there and buy stuff. And then, of course, the weekend, Saturday, boom, go out and shop some more, and don't worry about putting away the leftovers, and then, boom, Advent on Sunday. Thank God for Advent helping keep us sane by filling those holes that all the shopping in the world simply cannot fill. For me personally, nothing combines the synthesis of the great joy and expectation of Advent with the hustle and bustle of preparing for Christmas than this work from composer and music teacher Bob Zina in his suite called Child of a Christmas Heart. Just listen to it. Listen to the hustle and bustle and the weaving of O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. To me, that's like a breath of fresh air in a smog-filled room. More to come after this on Connecting the Diocese. This holiday weekend, there is this intense pressure to shop till you drop, because the deals are all out there. You better get there quick before they're all gone. We are so manipulated, and it's just become a tradition for some people. My idea is not just to shop till you drop, but how about shop and drop? But I mean, yeah, do your shopping, that's fine, but while you're out and about, go through your house first and find some stuff you don't need and drop it off at places that need it. Usually St. Vincent de Paul, other church-based rummage sales, Salvation Army, things like that. Places that are going to supply things to people who are in need. People whose homes have burnt down. People who have left home due to an abusive situation and need to start fresh. One decluttering expert and author of several books says, look at some objects in your house and look at them and say, does this bring me joy or is it just in the way? I have numerous devices to play MP3 files, more than I'll ever need, and when I'm looking for something, they're always in the way. You know, I go looking for some speakers, and I've got to look through a drawer, and there's all these little MP3 players that are in the way. They are not bringing me joy, and so out they go. Other times I've held on to something because I say, well, you know, I'm going to sell it on eBay and make some money off it. Well, how long has it been that you've been planning on selling it on eBay? A year. I see. And how much will you sell it for? Well, maybe $35. Well, after the fees for eBay and then also having to package it, wrap it, box it up, and go to the post office, how much money are you really making? I don't know, $15-$20. And in these busy times, how much is your time worth? I think you get the idea. Get it out of the house and have it do some good for someone else. The church thrift store will make some money. Somebody who needs to buy something cheaply will get it. Everybody wins, including you. Just get a big box or bag somewhere and go through the closets, go through the drawers. Does it bring me joy, yes or no? No? Okay, it goes bye-bye. Try it. Shop and drop this entire weekend and throughout the entire Advent season. It brings so much joy to others and to yourself, and also it cleans up your house and gets that stuff out of the way. Shop and drop for Advent. Well, even though it's a very busy time for everybody, I'm very happy to tell you that Roberto Parturu from Catholic Charities is joining us. We seem to do this every weekend after Thanksgiving for the past several years. So welcome back, Roberto.
Thank you. It's a pleasure being here with you.
This weekend is the weekend where people really, number one, they start thinking about more and more holiday times, having just had one, but they also spend what I would consider an inordinate amount of time looking for bargains, the Black Friday, this, that, and the other. So people are out there. I'm sure all of the places, the malls, et cetera, that are out there, are the parking spots are all taken and everything else is going on. We're going to be talking about lots of other stuff that Catholic Charities is doing, because while some people are out there looking for the ultimate bargain on a big screen TV or fancy espresso maker, other people are just looking for the next place to stay or the next food to eat. But before we get into that, what in general have you been up to these days?
We've been working on everything. I mean, we're working on opening up our shelters. We opened it up in Warsaw. We opened up in La Crosse. We are under construction and to increase the size of our shelter in Eau Claire. So we've been busy trying to prepare for the winter. And as you have seen, it's getting colder and it's snow on the ground, so people are in need of shelter. So we've been working on that, preparing for the winter. We have also continue to work with the Afghan refugees. We continue to work in our adoption program, where we've seen a large increase in birth moms to work with us to support them during their pregnancy period. And if they choose so, to place their child in an adoption with us. We have also worked with the immigration department and continue to work with immigrants. And there's also some cases from Ukrainian individuals that have applied for visas. And so we're helping them. So the jobs are many. We continue to provide our financial assistance. I mean, we're helping a lot of families and we increase our donations and financial aid because there's just an enormous need. We are also working with the county and other nonprofits to look at the possibility of increasing our housing for families and the size of housing. So it's all of our programs, our St. Lawrence program that provides the financial assistance and financial education. We are working full-time on that. We are expanding our services, looking at possibilities of working in different locations, in Stevens Point and with One Big Tent. It's a newly formed interfaith group that we are participating in. So name it. I mean, I cannot even keep track anymore. It's just so much going on.
You name it and you're doing it. A lot of people may or may not realize that Catholic Charities USA in general is the largest provider of low cost housing in the country, that you are just dedicated to that. And, you know, there's an awful lot of stuff going on, and not only locally, but elsewhere. Eva, I was reading in some of the Twin Cities papers how there's several homeless encampments that have gotten so large that they have become basically a health problem and dangerous to the people living in them. And they're trying to basically clear them out. And in some cases, they're doing it rather forcefully with the idea that there are places to get into. But you've got people working on this who say that there are those who are mentally ill. There are those who are addicted. There are those who just almost can't imagine doing something other than what they're doing. They're kind of stuck in this path. And also, they think stubbornly that somehow this tent made out of a tarpaulin and, you know, and some blankets and maybe this, that, and the other is going to somehow protect them during the cold weather that's coming. And it just isn't going to happen. When we start getting down to well below freezing over a period of time, I don't care how good a sleeping bag you think you have or what you've put together, it's not a good thing. And so all kinds of stuff like that happening. In our area, there were some people living in a trailer and they had some kind of a kerosene heater and the thing basically blew up and caught fire when they were trying to light it because it wasn't properly set up and it wasn't working properly. There's all kinds of dangers when you're on your own, makeshift, trying to get by and really not thinking much further ahead than what you can do that night to stay alive and put some food in your belly. It's a tragic situation, and you guys are facing this constantly.
It is tragic because you have individuals, they pay over 50 to 60% of their income in rent and even more sometimes. So if they get sick, they can't pay the doctor, they can't visit the doctor. They have to stop paying utilities. It is heartbreaking to see with inflation as rampant as it is. I mean, the prices of everything, the housing, the prices of rent have increased, the prices of food have increased, and we are seeing the results on the poor because their check is not increasing. So believe it or not, many of the people that are in our homeless facilities or in our shelters are working. We are trying to assist them, and one of the ways we do that is we are helping them in Eau Claire, for example. The city of Eau Claire has done great work with us, and they are providing free passes for public transportation so that individuals that are staying in our shelter, they can go where they need to go, and many of them need the bus to go to work. Without that, they couldn't even work. So there's a
It's
lot happening.
all at the same time. I mean, now we are in by no means in any rough trouble at our household, but this year we have our thermostat set at 64. I have an inexpensive but very comfortable kind of almost an athletic type of little zipper padded coat on inside the house. We're doing this simply because, you know, we filled up our oil tank. We have an oil heat. It was $725. We normally fill up that tank two times, maybe three times, depending on the winter. We can afford it, but that means something else that we might want to do, you know, working on fixing the garage or something. We can't do it at this point. And so we are trying to see if we can get by with, you know, two tanks of oil this winter as opposed to three tanks of oil. And it's also an ecological thing as well. But I mean, this is little things we do that we help scrimp a bit by. Of course, our little effort at getting by pales in comparison to the folks that you're dealing with every day. I mentioned last week in a public service announcement that if you are hit in one of those situations where the income and the outgo don't match, there is this tremendous urge when they do the deal where you can avoid having to pay for your power to skip a payment. And let's just say, for example, I'm hitting $180 for electricity these days because the prices have gone up, and I don't quite know why what we're using, but I guess we are. But there's a temptation to skip a payment because you can get away with it, you know, it's the law. And that means the next month you might have $400 that you owe. And this begins to add up without you thinking about it. Next thing you know, 3 months have gone by, and by the time April rolls around, you are in a real pickle. Catholic Charities tries to help out with all those power cutoffs, but if you're finding the income and the outgo not matching, Catholic Charities does have some services that may help you balance your budget. Can you explain how that works?
Yeah, our St. Lawrence program works very simple. I mean, you can give us a call and I'll give you some of the numbers. So far this year, from January 1st through the month of October, the end of October, we have made an assessment for households, 2,679 assessments. That means that we have discussed the financial situation with that many clients. You know, that's an initial assessment. We have helped financially over 300 clients, providing them financial assistance. So we work with the person who comes to us, gives us a call, and tells us, "I have a problem in paying for utilities," or "have a problem. Can you help me to pay for the school or my kids?" I mean, whatever they need. So we look at the financials, the budget of the person. We teach them how to do a budget, and with that, we can see where do they need help, what they need to change. Maybe they're spending too much money in some items, and we give them tips on how to save money in those items that they don't need, and teach them how to prioritize. The first thing that you need to do is to pay your rent. I mean, a roof over your head is the most important thing, and then everything else comes second. And we prioritize, and we provide assistance if need be until they can become more stable and they can fund the things that they need. So it all starts by a phone call, giving us a call, visit. We sit down with the individual and with the family. We look at their priorities. We look at what their situation, their income, and the outflows of funding, and we help them balance that budget. I mean, it's something that we all do on a regular basis, but when they are under stress and they are, you know, everybody's trying to get their money and they are desperate, so they go to people that lend them money for excessive amount of interest. We try to help them and put them in the right track.
There's car loans and things like that, and there, if you miss your payments, they take your car, and there goes your way of getting to work. Did you say
Correct.
that more than 2,600 people have come to you seeking assistance?
Since January.
Since January.
January 1st of this year, we have done over 2,600 assessments.
Yeah. Everywhere I turn right now, I'm seeing various churches and other organizations opening clothes closets for donated clothes. I'm seeing food drives for food shelves. It's just everywhere. Everywhere you go, there seems to be a general need for support from people who, through no fault of their own, have basically they lost their job or whatever. I remember a good, probably 20 years ago, when we had a big boot company in La Crosse, big factory that made all kinds of those orange boots. They closed. I don't know whether they shipped things over to China or what exactly happened, but basically the factory closed. And at that time, I was helping train people to do phone reservations. It was a special job I had for a call center in La Crosse. And an enormous number of people were coming from the boot factory to get retrained to make some money. And it wasn't the worst job in the world, but it was not what they were doing. And our workforce is very, very good in this area. They're smart. They can be retrained. They listen. They follow the orders. But they got to have a job offered to them. And that's a trick. And so I've kind of seen firsthand the disruption that happens when people lose jobs or their hours get cut back. And of course, during the pandemic, look at all the food service jobs, the wait staff jobs, the hospitality jobs that just disappeared. And some people have not recovered from that yet. It's a real problem that you're more cognizant of it than I am. But at the same time, you also get to see success stories, which is
yeah.
good.
If it weren't for the success stories, we will all be very depressed.
We don't have less hair because we're pulling it out.
But, thank God. I mean, people are good. People are, they like to help and they do help us. So in Wausau, in Eau Claire, in Loyal, in Stevens Point, and everywhere we go and everywhere Chippewa Falls, people are very generous and very good and they're all willing to help. Unfortunately, many times they don't know where and how to help.
That's a good point that you made, Roberto, because the idea is that it's that same routine about if you bring a can of food to a food shelf, that's nice, it's great of you. If you give them the money that you paid for that food, they can buy more than you can buy, because they're organized and they have the economy of scale and things like that. And this is the same idea. Everybody wants to help somehow. Everybody's got $10 or $100 or whatever amount it is they want to contribute to something to help. And you want to give it to something that is organized, because more gets done more efficiently. And we all know that Catholic Charities has got this extremely efficient organization. You are not driving around in a new Mercedes-Benz every new year.
Oh, God. My car.
Yeah, yeah. Unless you win a lot.
2004.
Yeah, unless you win the lottery, you're not going to be out there doing that.
And there's more to giving than just giving. I mean, you can become the government and say, okay, I give you something. But that doesn't respect the dignity of the individual. People don't want things for free. People want to earn something. They want to be able to feel that they are achieving something. So the approach that we take is that we will help you if you want to help yourself. I mean, the important thing is to respect the dignity of each individual and teach them that they have that dignity to earn things. I'll give you an example. One of our Catholic charities, they in their shop, when they set up the Christmas shop, rather than having the parents come and rather than giving them the gifts or the toys for their children, we ask them, they shop, we put it like a supermarket, and they can decide they will take this particular present or this particular toy, and we charge them $1 or 50 cents or whatever, so that they choose, and the gift comes from the parent, from the father, from the mother, not from us to the kid.
And the idea is that, number one, as opposed to them just giving them something that's already wrapped up in a box and they don't really know what it is and it may not even be appropriate for the kid, they can see something and they can say, this is exactly what little Janie likes because she loves ponies or whatever it
Correct.
Is. They're being treated with dignity. They're being treated as if they were shopping in a mall.
Exactly.
And with the understanding that we understand that you're going through some stressful times and we're helping you, but we're not just going to say, here, take this toy. We don't care whether it works for you or not. That added element of dignity, which is something that I see in Catholic Charities all the time. I don't know why I always keep thinking about this. Maybe it's because I have, I thank God I've never been homeless, but you know, I have been through times of low work and, you know, all kinds of changing careers and things like that. And the thing is that there's nothing to be ashamed of if you need some help temporarily. There's just nothing to be ashamed of. And you will not go to Catholic Charities and have them look down at you and go, oh my goodness, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way at all, because you're doing this because of your Catholicity, because of the works of corporal mercy that are ingrained in the Catholic Church. And it's not your job to lay blame on people. It's your job to say, let's see if we can help you. It's that simple. And you don't have to be, once again, you don't have to be Catholic to take these services. And in general, you know, they just want you to come in and see if they can help you, which is a remarkable thing. It's something that in this day and age where it seems like it's so much dog-eat-dog stuff going on and a lot of blame and finger-pointing going on, you know, this people here are no good because of this over here is no good because of, hey, we just put that all aside. And that's it's one of the things why I like doing this show with you and with others, because for some reason I am focused on this the term corporal acts of mercy. Just basically, for those of you not doing the Catholic side of it, acts of mercy. It's as simple as that. Yeah. And I know that Eric Archer, our new communications director, is very, very tuned into this as well, wants to work with all these people who are helping out any way they can, because that's what we do. And my goodness, if you can't do something good this time of year or any time of year, you're missing out on an opportunity. How are your Afghan refugees doing? Did they just had their second Thanksgiving in this country, essentially?
Yes. I mean, they are doing well. We're currently working with approximately 100 refugees that are stayed in Wisconsin, in the Wisconsin area. So we're helping actually 60 Afghan refugees in getting their visas and making sure that their status is current and legal. So we're working with them. We're helping them in finding housing and assisting them with financial assistance to provide them with rent money so that they can pay their rent, and helping them obtaining jobs and supporting them in every way each way we can. So we celebrated in September an Afghan day. So we had over 60 Afghan families coming to the diocese, and we had a big party for them, and it was a lot of fun to watch the kids and the whole family play, and it was a beautiful day. So we were able to do it outdoors. Thank God it was September, because we couldn't do it now.
No, exactly.
So they're doing well. I mean,
that's good.
But yeah, it's troubling, because they're learning English. Some of them didn't know how to read or write in their own language, and they speak so many different languages that for us it's difficult to understand. But thank God we are actually working with an individual who's helping us in doing the interpreting and translating, and he's very well educated, and he's an Afghan person from Afghanistan as well, very well educated and just a wonderful gentleman. And we're working with him to help us out with help all the families. Again, they don't want things free. They want to earn it. And that's the key element, I think. It's each individual is unique. Each person is unique. And we need to treat them as a person. If we could only just do that, I think that's the biggest present we can give. If we look at each person as an individual, if we learn their name, we don't treat them as numbers. Each person is a person. And until we recognize that, you know, everything that we do, it wouldn't matter. We need to work with the person. That's the most important thing.
It's interesting to remind people, too, that these people who are coming from Afghanistan, they're here because some member of their family was actively working with the U.S. military forces, either as a translator or other things, and that they had to basically get out of Dodge, because when the Taliban was taken over, things would have not gone well for them. There could have been, you know, beheadings for that matter. And so we owe them for what they have done for us. They've helped save American lives. They knew things that were going on. They did translation. They helped explain, you know, when you go into a situation, how you approach talking to the head guy of the particular clan that's over here, or this, that, and the other. They just knew stuff I wouldn't know. And They are now, as the old Robert Heinlein book was titled, Strangers in a Strange Land. Our customs are different, our dress is different, our food is different, everything is different. And they're learning, I'm sure, you know. And I was thinking last week that I bet you an Afghan Thanksgiving dinner probably looks a little bit different than ours does. You know,
and you will love the food because they
Oh, God,
it's delicious. I mean, that day here in we tried all different plates from Afghanistan. The
yeah,
food
I was
is delicious.
I was trying to worm my way into that event, but they did not want it to become a media circus, which is perfectly understandable. Kind of like the priest unity days that take place at the Diocesan Center. This is for the priests to hang out with each other. They don't get to see each other as often as most people would think. And they really don't want some guy from the radio station coming on, hey, can we have a comment about, you know, no, they don't want to see me. They like me, but not today, Jack. It's our time to hang out. And it's kind of the same thing. A relaxed day without any pressure, without feeling that you're being scrutinized or something like that. So that was wonderful. That was just an amazing bit of work. Now, you say also, we're beginning to get requests from people coming from Ukraine. How is that working out?
It is heartbreaking. I mean, we are seeing stories of people that are coming out, and everybody has lost somebody in the war, and they have somebody that is son or father. They're fighting for their lives, and it is tough. I mean, it's starting. The State Department, we're working closely with the State Department because they haven't really given us an exact direction how their visas are going to be processed. So we've seen 5 cases right now, and we're learning on how to approach this. Our legal department is learning that process, and I think everybody is in the State Department as well. But also we're working with the diocese and the Chalice of Mercy, which is Valentina, who is from Ukraine. She's providing them with a lot of assistance, and we're shipping different medicine and different products to Ukraine.
And Valentina, of course, had been going over there in a number of pro-life projects, and because she had relatives over there and extensive travel because she lived there, she knows the back roads, and she knows all kinds of ways of getting stuff in that make it possible to have these things actually delivered in the middle of a war going on, which is really good. My late brother-in-law was a Lutheran pastor, and he had a parish in Washington, D.C., right on Connecticut Avenue, that was primarily refugees from Liberia. And all the time he was dealing with the same kind of stuff. You think that the paperwork would be like, here's the form, fill it out, bingo, right? No, it's a moving target. And frankly, whenever there's an emergency like this unexpected war in Ukraine, they basically have to start from scratch and almost make it up as they go along, figuring out what's going on. Because there isn't a standard operating procedure of what happens when Russia attacks Ukraine for no particular reason. You know, it's not there. So this filters down to you having to figure out how you can successfully work the legal system and the forms and all this stuff. And you've got how many lawyers do you have working for you? And are they volunteers, or how does that work?
No, we have a consultant, which is Chuck Behrens, and he's a lawyer, and he helps us to make sure that we don't. But we have paralegal work. I mean, we have people accredited by immigration. They have been working, Benson Saya has been working with us for, I think, over 12 years. And he's an accredited representative, so that he knows the immigration law. Not quite as a lawyer, but he's very knowledgeable. And Linda Crawley, and we have another person, Anna, of our Warsaw office. So we have 3 individuals. They're working full-time in processing all the applications. We have over 260 cases working right now. So,
This is the thing I don't think people always understand, that Catholic Charities is a very sophisticated organization because they know the right people to talk to and how to get things done and where to go for advice. Every once in a while, you'll find either a religious or non-religious nonprofit, doesn't matter, who start up. And the old, I guess, joke would be that they were imbued with zeal. And the trouble is that it doesn't always work that way. One day I was driving to work, and there was a turtle stuck in the middle of the road trying to get across. And I stopped the car, and I got out this big piece of cardboard because it was some kind of snapping turtle. I have no idea what it was, but I wasn't going to grab it with my hands. And I put it on the side of the road. thinking to myself, what a good guy you are, Jack. And the next day, I'm driving to work, and here's the same turtle on the same road. I had put it on the wrong side of the road. I was not putting it where it was wanting to get. I was putting it where it came from. And so this is the kind of stuff that you've got to watch out, that people have the best of intentions, but they don't know which way the turtle's going.
Right.
And you guys do. This is that you've been doing this for a lot of years. How many years have you been in our La Crosse area, by the way?
You know, under different names, we've been over 150 years.
Yeah. So you've got a lot of experience.
This year, 150 years. But Catholic Charities, the beauty of Catholic Charities is that the Catholic Church has a lot of experience, and Catholic Charities itself. I mean, we have 167 Catholic Charities throughout the United States on its territories, and we, as you pointed out, we are probably the second largest provider of social services after the government, and we provide housing. We have experience in immigration. We have experience in healthcare. I mean, the Catholic Church, you know, look at the name of the hospitals.
Sure.
And the number of nuns who have started and created the network of private hospitals. So it is, we have a lot of experience in a lot of areas. And in immigration, for example, we have only three people full-time plus a consultant as a lawyer, but we have Clinic, which is a nationwide entity that belongs to Catholic Charities, works with Catholic Charities, and they have 20, 30 lawyers on site, and then they support all of our agencies. So
it is startling. And also the fact that your organization, if you were to go to one of these online charity places that looks at various nonprofits, your overall use of every dollar that gets given, an extremely high percentage of it ends up doing exactly what you were hoping it would do. In other words, the overhead isn't so great. This is something that, again, most people don't pay a lot of attention to these things, but there are various organizations that 40% or more of what you give them goes back into the more fundraising and not to help the people that you're hoping. Some of it does, of course, but this is the time of year and when all this stuff starts showing up. I keep reading in the papers, especially on the Minnesota side of the border, about the fiasco that went on when there was supposed to be all these kids getting fed, and some $250 million worth of money was changing hands, and there were actually people of ill will who basically made up the fact that they were feeding people, and they just took all the money, and they're buying Mercedes, literally. They've just busted, but every time you turn around, you hear about another one that they've nailed, who, unbelievable, and in the confusion of COVID-19, this stuff slipped through the cracks, and there's always people who try to take advantage of rough situations. So that's why if you hear something, you know, pops up on your screen or something saying, help the people in Ukraine, maybe they are and maybe they aren't. You've got to check your sources. And you also, it's in my past, I can see that groups that were religious-based, churches and organizations you heard of, Catholic Charities among them, are ones you can absolutely trust, because they'll make the best use of your money. And this is one reason why we try to support you as much as possible, why we have, you know, we work with you to explain to people exactly what we're explaining. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, you do all this. Now, how long is that? Was it St. Lawrence organization? How long has that been around?
Well, it's been around, again, since the inception of Catholic Charities, because we have always provided financial assistance, financial education. With our Catholic Charities, the St. Lawrence program began in the year approximately 1997. But this is our under the current form. Before it was called something else, and prior to that it was called something else. So it has changed names, but we have always provided assistance. I mean, ever since the Catholic Church set up a parish, people will go to the parish and ask for financial assistance and help and charity and donations. And the priests have always been very generous. And they, if they had some money, they will help the parishioners. So it is the Catholic way. It is the way that we believe in community. We believe in family. We believe in supporting and helping each other. And it is the human way. It's not just because of our religious belief, but we do it, like you said, like you pointed out, we do it because we are Catholic. We don't do it for Catholics. We do it because we are Catholic, and our mandate is to help and evangelize the entire world.
There's times when in the past when you'd hear on non-religious radio, commercial radio, talk radio, you know, there'd be these companies come on saying, you know, if you owe more than $30,000 in credit card debt, we can help you cut your payments and blah, blah, blah. They charge you a lot of money. So you basically have spent more money, gotten further in debt, and maybe really not resolved the problem. Catholic Charities has done credit counseling and things like this. They do that at no charge because it's part of the whole package of getting your budget figured out. So you are adamantly against payday loans. You're adamantly against car loans for the reasons we've already described. And also, you know, these companies that claim that they're going to wipe out your debt. Doesn't work that way, fortunately. And it costs a bit of money. Now, this doesn't mean that Catholic Charities is going to hand you a bag of money and say, go on your way. That would really might solve a temporary problem, but it doesn't solve the long-term problem. If you have a situation where you're not able to understand the finances and things like that. You know, I've probably joked about this before, Roberto, but I have not touched an ATM machine since 1984. I realize I probably am much more disciplined than I was back then, but you know, I use my debit card and I keep track of it and I check online to make sure I'm not going crazy. And back in the old days, you know, you kind of just forgot about it and walked away, and that can get you into real trouble. And so I just decided, no, don't use cash machines and things like that. There are people who, like me, should not be quite as fast and loose with how they spend their money and how they keep track of it, which is the other part of it. And this is part of what you'll get education with. And you're not talking about just young people starting out. These are people of all different age brackets, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, families. I'm talking about individuals and families from the ages of 20 to the ages of 70, 80. Mm-hmm. So everybody at one point or another struggles. Everybody has difficulties. I mean, how many people who have worked all their lives and now they're seniors and they have a particular sickness and they have a particular health issue and all of a sudden they find themselves broken and at the possibility of losing their homes? There are many cases like that. So yeah, we work with all kinds of individuals and of all different ages.
And it could happen virtually to anybody. I think the only person I've ever known, I think I've known in my life only one honest-to-goodness millionaire who was in college. You know, his mom and dad were in Beverly Hills playing tennis with Barbara Streisand. He'll probably be okay. Although, you know, we have seen people win the lottery and next thing you know, they're bankrupt. It's amazing what can happen to people. But there's a tremendous amount of pressure in our current society to have a lot of stuff that maybe you don't really have to have. The latest smartphone, the latest this, the latest that, tremendous pressure. And this time of year, there's always this thing where they say, oh, the retailers are not going to do so well this year. The consumer has to save Christmas. You're not saving Christmas. You're helping out the store, which is probably an okay thing for some people. But boy, I tell you, there's priorities there. We'll be talking more about this through Advent, about centering on what's really important about Christmas. And frankly, helping out a neighbor in need, helping out somebody, maybe even if you don't ever even meet them, by supporting Catholic Charities, things like that. How do people reach you? What are the best ways of reaching Catholic Charities in our area? And then in general, if there's a national website as well.
Yeah, I mean, in our area, just go through our website. It's Catholic Charities Diocese of La Crosse. Mm-hmm. And you can put that in Google and you can look at our website and you can donate on the other website, ccclse.org.
I finally memorized that one. CC as in Catholic Charities, LSE as in La Crosse. .org because you're a nonprofit. So cclse.org. I believe there probably are also links to it at our diocesan website as well. And again, if you need some help with something, particularly right now, let's just mention the financial counseling or evictions or whatever the case may be, you need to have some paperwork. In other words, don't just throw away your phone bill and your power bill and your rent stubs and also your pay stubs, because in order for Catholic Charities to assess what they can do to help, they have to know what your income is and what your outgo is. And even if your outgo is like really embarrassing, you know, because you've got all kinds of other stuff you're paying for that maybe you shouldn't have gotten or whatever, it doesn't matter. Bring it in anyway, because they're not going to look at you and go, tisk, tisk, shame on you. The main thing is to figure out how to dig out from under whatever it is that has happened. It may be a job loss. It could be your hours were cut. It could be all kinds of things going on. No shame in all this stuff. But getting some help for free, and they'll talk to you. And boy, I'll tell you, you'll feel a lot better. And for those of you who want to be charitable, who want to do a work of mercy, which is really part of basically what this is all about, and if you don't really know how to do it and not focus on one particular thing, this is a great way of doing it. You can just make a donation to Catholic Charities. You can go right online and do it right now if you want to, and that will immediately begin not trickling down, but pouring down on the people who need it. And right now we've got, like I say, the Afghan refugees, the folks coming in from Ukraine. You've got people dealing with their power bills, car breakdowns, you know, all the stuff that happens.
Right. I mean, we're in the process of doing the homeless for the holidays appeal. I mean, all those funds are going to go directly to pay for our shelters. I mean, we, as I pointed out, we have made an investment of over $2.6 million in Eau Claire to increase the size and rebuild our Sojourner House that shelters over 50 people a night. And we have already provided since the November 1st shelter for over 192 different individuals. That is a lot of money. Thank God we have received grants from the states, but that won't pay for 100% of it. We are short close to $300,000 that we need to collect and find and fundraise to complete that job, because inflation has just killed us and the supply chain problems have increased the prices of everything. You know, things like that happen, but it won't stop us.
You know, it's an interesting side note. You mentioned $2.6 million, and people are probably shocked when they hear that. All that expense going for one building in one place. I'm reminded of the time when, I think it was NASA, sent some probe to Pluto or somewhere, and they had a guy from NASA on a radio show. It cost $100 million or something like that. And somebody called up, and they said, how can you take $100 million and just shoot it into space? And what the reply was from the NASA guy was that the money isn't in the rocket. The $100 million is not stacked in the rocket. The $100 million was in the pockets of the people who designed and built the rocket. There are workers and painters and electricians and people who sell you windows and all of those kinds of things and air conditioning and whatever. All are going to benefit from that $2.6 million before you even open it up again.
I've been here for 8 years, and it has never, November and December are the months that I lose most sleep, and the months that I not only don't sleep well, I'm nervous. Because about 30 to 40% of our budget depends on the donations that come at the end of the year, November mm-hmm. and December. We have an appeal called Homeless mm-hmm. for the Holidays.
Yeah.
And the appeal is now, happening right now.
We have
the annual appeal, and which are the end of year donations on the Homeless for the Holidays appeal. So that those appeals are going on right now, and we just really ask all our listeners and your show to be generous, because we really need, I mean, this year donations are down, unfortunately, and I can understand why the stock market, it's down. The people are afraid of what's going on. Inflation is up. So everybody's budget is being hurt. So has ours. So
yes. And hearing you mention us on the radio, it does remind me that you're not sending out a fancy, very expensively printed four-color brochure with good, high-quality velour paper and a very fancy envelope that is bemoaning the fact that you need money. You talk about being, you know, hard to sleep. It's one thing for me sitting back going, my goodness, I just paid $725 for oil, where last year it was $400. And you're sitting there going, we have to get money coming in to heat these buildings so that dozens and dozens and dozens of people will stay warm.
wish our bill was only $700.
Because yeah, well, that's it. I mean, you're talking heating bills that are, I wouldn't even imagine how much they are, but you know, you have to have them. There's no two ways about it, because these people are coming in from the cold. They're coming in to get warm, and it may be their only opportunity to get warm. It's a frightening thought, and I don't know personally how these folks who are putting up these plastic tents and stringing up things, it seems unbearable. And as you have said in the past, they can't think much past the immediate day. You know, where am I going to get a meal right now? Where am I going to find a place to sleep? Where is it going to be safe for me for the next 8 hours? You know, things that we don't think about as much. You know, I'm more concerned about getting my driveway plowed. You know, I mean, this is nothing compared to these things. And so it's a good thing. It's a good thing to do to just go to ccclse.org. And the more you look at the things on the website, and there's photos and stories and all kinds of things, the more you realize the vast span of services that they offer, which is really encouraging. And I'm personally very proud to even be tangentially involved with you guys, to have you on. I mean, this is you guys do noble and good work, and which is something that, you know, can be said by other people in the medical field, in the emergency field, the police, all the others. But by golly, you are dealing with people every day, changing big time lives and saving lives, and just helping out families and helping out newborns and doing all kinds of stuff like this, which is really just, it's a thrill to talk to you and to hear about it. And you have just good people working for you as well. And also volunteers. Before we go, how are we doing about volunteers this year?
We're doing okay. We definitely could use more. I mean, because we definitely need volunteers in the front line. I mean, our warming centers need volunteers at night. They need volunteers during the day. We need volunteers to help us. For example, we recently received a donation of a house in Warsaw that we're trying to get renovated, and we needed volunteers to paint the house. So we're running short in that. You pointed out that our administrative cost, the cost of us doing business, is very low because we depend so much on volunteers. Much of the work that we do it with volunteers. So that will, the funds that we receive can go directly to help those in need. Our administrative cost is less than 15%. I mean, it's actually in the range of 10 to 12%, so which is very low in national standards. And, you know, because most of the funds that we receive, we try to put them to work in the places that need the money.
There's a sense of immediacy that this is like, we can't just sit around and wonder what to do with this donation. We have to right now we have a need, boom, we take care of it. And so you are kind of always on the tightrope, you know. And hopefully maybe someone listening will give a good generous donation this weekend or something like that.
I certainly hope so.
We'll have to call it the Help Roberto Sleep Better campaign.
But no, I don't mind it. I mean, you know, like I said, you know, it is this last 2 months of the year, every year I lose a little sleep, but God has always been generous, and people have been so generous. We always have somebody that comes and makes a big donation and help us get through it. This is God's work. It's not about me. It's not about the people that work for Catholic Charities. It's about you. It's about the people that are in need. It's about, ultimately, it's about us working and doing being the hands and feet and eyes of God, so that we can help others.
I think I'm beginning to remember the old line from I don't even remember what book or poem or Shakespeare it was, but there was the famous phrase about the quality of mercy is never strained. Being merciful is good for everybody involved. The person who is dispensing the mercy, the person who is receiving the mercy. It is, and that's. And I'm going to have to think where that famous quote came from. There goes my high school English. But anyway, Roberto Parturu is definitely involved in the mercy business, and kindness and goodness and all the things that we focus on in Thanksgiving and into Advent, into Christmas, and hopefully all year long. But right now, especially, it's really a wonderful thing to see it happening. So, Roberto, we will talk to you again at some point between now and Advent and Christmas and New Year's and all those good things, okay?
Thank you so much, Jack. It's been a pleasure to speaking with you again. And thank you all listeners that are supporting Catholic Charities and are doing the work of mercy. So thank you. Yeah.
Thank you so much. Back after this on Connecting the Diocese. Any time of year, but especially during Advent, churches get really, really busy with all kinds of activities, from fairs to special celebrations to you name it. And I do strongly suggest that you go to the diocesan website, diolc.org, and look at the calendar of events, because churches from all over will contribute information. I just happened to click on it, and I happened to spot this. This is for the December 2nd, Friday. St. Olaf Parish Center in Eau Claire, a men's club, having their annual all-you-can-eat fish fry. $14 for adults, kids $5, kids under 5 are free, and there will be three-piece carry-out dinners for $14 as well. For some of us who have smaller households, you may be already running out of really decent leftovers from Thanksgiving, or if, like us, you went to see relatives, you don't have any. So you might want to get out and partake in one of these food activities that go on during Advent, and also you support your local church as well. And of course, there will be Christmas fairs, lots of baked goods being sold. These events that you'll find in the online calendar are kind of like parts of a puzzle or a mosaic, little pieces that you want to know about because it puts together the continuity and the simplicity and the dependability of the Advent and Christmas season, parts that you don't want to miss because you're going to look back and say, oh darn, I always like doing that. So especially these next several weeks, make it a habit of going to diolc.org and looking at the calendar of events going on in the Diocese of La Crosse. And if you're one of those people who have been suddenly assigned to be part of some event going on, and you really don't know how to get into the calendar, I suggest you contact the Diocese of La Crosse offices, ask for the communications department, and ask them how to do it. If you run across something where it's the last minute, and you have forgotten to give them the information, hey, drop me a note. Connecting@diolc.org, and I'll try to get it on the air as quickly as possible. DIOLC.org, the official website for the Catholic Diocese of La Crosse, Wisconsin. Jack Socia here with you on Connecting the Diocese for this weekend, including the first Sunday of Advent. As we move into Advent and the Christmas season, I like to play snippets of music from a young music teacher named Bob Zina. I never met Bob personally, but I did come across him and talk to him on the phone when I was looking for some special music to play on Christmas Day a very long time ago on a whole different kind of radio show. For some time, Bob had been working on what he called a Christmas suite, a series of songs, kind of like chapters in a book called Child of a Christmas Heart. And each chapter was a little bit different. The beginning of the show, we had his chapter on Advent, where he mixed the hustle and bustle of the crowds, Christmas shopping, along with O Come, Emmanuel. If things work out as I hope, I will probably play the entire suite on the show for Christmas Day, but not right now. And as usual, there's an interesting story behind the circumstances around him finishing his Christmas suite in time for Christmas quite a number of years ago. Like a lot of instrumental music, and in particular, suites of music, they try to portray audibly certain times and occurrences happening. Musically, it can represent something exciting, something romantic, something dangerous. And part of the Advent beginning, after the excitement of the shopping and O Come, Emmanuel, he slides into a piece where he's trying to capture the mundane aspects of getting ready for Advent and Christmas unpacking ornaments and doing this and cleaning house and getting it ready and going through things and figuring out how you're going to decorate, etc., etc., and making plans to visit people. These mundane things we do over and over again every Advent season, you know, addressing Christmas cards, cleaning the windows on the front porch so the lights look nicer, you know, things like Mom getting out the special tablecloths that she likes to use every year, Dad fumbling around looking for the base for the tree, and things perhaps already forgotten, like getting out the Christmas lights early to make sure they all stay lit because if one goes out, they all used to go out. Mundane and ordinary, but precious, dignified, and reassuring. We do it every year, we don't even think about it. But as years go by, we remember these things fondly as part of our childhood, our young adulthood, our first Christmas together, things like that. So I'll leave you with a little bit of this from Child of a Christmas Heart. Just think about those things that are so common right now that have such great meaning for you later on. Now, maybe, just maybe, as you sit back and let this music wash over you and you think about some of the things from your childhood that were traditions that have gotten forgotten, maybe, just maybe, you'll say, you know, we haven't done that for so long. And, you know, as Bishop Callahan once said in a previous Advent show, it's nothing wrong with starting a tradition. Traditions have to start somewhere. Or reinvent a tradition. Yeah, you don't have to have a cookie-cutter Christmas based on exactly what's for sale in the stores. You can look back and say, you know, we used to make ornaments out of clothespins. Or maybe you simply fold up some pieces of colored paper and cut out little corners here and there and then fold them to see what they look like. Let your mind wander for just a few minutes and maybe something will show up that you hadn't thought of for the longest time. Maybe it involves putting Christmas cards from friends all around a mirror so when you look at the mirror, you see yourself smiling at the thought of all these friends and their good wishes. It's endless. Everyone has their own thing that will pop up. You'll say, yes, 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 we used to do that. We should do it some more. Give it a try. You listen to this and we'll see what happens. And again, I will catch you again next week. And I'm very happy that you're here with me, helping everyone to enjoy the first Sunday of Advent and all the rest of this glorious, glorious season. I'm blessed to be able to talk to you, and thank you so much for listening. We'll see you again next week on Connecting the Diocese.